Well, as we get ready to move into this first Sunday of this Pastor's Choice series, I'm going to invite Tarina to come on up. Pastor Tarina has graciously decided to kick off this series. There we go. Lights. That's good. In this series, the Pastor's Choice series is unique in the way that, you know, most Sundays here for a month, we have a kind of a theme that we go off of. And if I ask someone to teach, they are bound to that theme. They get, you know, the idea of where we're supposed to be going. They get the text they're supposed to be using, and they got to stick to that. But Pastor's Choice is just that, Pastor's Choice. So Tarina gets to teach on whatever she wants to, and I don't get any say-so in it. So much trust, because Tarina's just on the edge like that. So you never know, right? It has been such a joy over these many years to be working with Tarina and to see the passion and the creativity that she brings to the children's ministry that eventually end up going into our student ministry. It seems I'll get all wrapped up in one over the years, but Tarina is a gifted teacher, and you know, we get to enjoy her whenever we have a fifth Sunday where she does a message for the kids. But I really wanted you to hear from her heart today, adult to adult, because she really is a gifted teacher, and God is doing so much in her and through her. And so I'm blessed for her to kick off our first Sunday here of Pastor's Choice with Tarina. Thanks.
Thank you. So it is true that when you get to do Pastor's Choice, it's just kind of anything that's been stirring in your heart. And so last year, whatever stirred in my heart had to go somewhat quickly, although I had a topic in mind because I told him multiple times I wasn't going to do it, and then I did. Well, this year I've had 12 months to stir on something. And today it's exercise your faith and walk with Jesus. And I'm very thematic, so that's why you get trail mix. It's very important when you hit the trails of walking, you are well-nourished. So go get some peanuts if you have allergies. I apologize. I love peanut butter, so there's peanuts in it. Casey, so sorry for Casey. She's not here. She can't have it. So enjoy the treats. But I really do want you to picture just a path and a trail as I take you on a little bit of a journey this morning. And with the word walk. The question of why we should exercise our faith and walk with Jesus is also super fitting being the start of the year. I'm not a big New Year's resolution, as in I'm not going to do something anymore. I don't have a lot of like bad habits that I need to take away, but there is always a good habit to add to my day. So a lot of what you hear today maybe is something that's already been stirring. Brian is big on the word of the year, and so I know he's going to walk youth kids through that later today, so our family's already been talking about what our word of the year is going to be. But there's also just a joy about starting a fresh year and being goal-oriented and finding an area of weakness that you want to strengthen. And so I'm going to kind of just take you through just an epiphany I had a couple years ago when it had to do with walking. So I have a picture up here of my dear sweet Boomer. There's Boomer. And obviously having a dog makes you have to, let's go, aw, he's my baby. Aw, there's Boomer. And yes, he's wearing a very cute shirt. And yes, I'm not sorry for what I buy him. He's adorable. He gets real fluffy, though, so it doesn't fit after a while. But a couple years ago, I received my first Fitbit, which also came with it was a bit of a motivation of wanting to get in my 10,000 steps. And because what I do every day, it's not very hard for me to get in well over 6,000. I don't sit at a desk. I'm a teacher. And then even here in this building when I come in the afternoon, I am bebopping all over the building. So it was I just knew I needed about 2 to 3 miles a day. But that was like part A of the Fitbit and the motivation. Part B for me was I was walking in kind of a sad time, a low time, and just a time where I just couldn't hear God's still small voice that I love so dearly. I couldn't seem to concentrate or have enough quietness where I could finish my prayers. You know, like when you're a mother, there's uninterrupted thoughts constantly, and you're going and veering 1, 2, and 3, answering questions. I felt like that way with God. I couldn't just get my whole heart out. And people can look at other people and go, oh, they're in Hawaii. I feel jealous. I was literally feeling jealous of the people that I saw on the trails. I'm serious. Go to Hawaii, whatever, good for you. But if you're on the trails, I'm going to be a little jelly. And from where I work in the morning, which is pre-K, I teach pre-K and music in the morning, and then I come here in the afternoon. I pass 5 different parts of the trails, and I have 4 beautiful seasons here in South Dakota. And I constantly would see people calmly walking alone, and I felt like, oh, I need that moment. And I'd see people maybe preparing for a marathon. I didn't long for that moment. I saw a few people walking together and having a nice conversation. Thanks, Ben. He's going to laugh at all my jokes. Hi, Ben. And I was longing to just be that person on the trails, and I just needed to think of a way to get there. So between my Fitbit and needing some quiet time with Jesus, I set myself up for success, and it looked like this. And I want to tell you that I gave myself a huge amount of room for flexibility and very little room for excuses. And that's probably my favorite line. So you're going to do it with me, and you're going to use your hands. Ready? I gave myself a huge amount of room for flexibility and very little room for excuses. Because right here is everybody's schedule, and no one looks the same. You are all completely differently made. You all have different strengths. You all have different weaknesses. And we often listen to messages, listen to speakers, go to conferences, and we're soaking in all this wonderful stuff. And then eventually you're like, okay, that's what worked for them. And then what does that leave us feeling? Failure. What was the word? Inadequate. You're putting yourself in an idea in a box that somebody is setting up that was very successful for them. So the biggest thing I want you to hear today is you're going to make a box with your hand, and you're going to take yourself out of it. Take yourself out of the box. I love that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that passage. I say it to my students all the time, and I think you need to hear it as grown-ups. And you need to tell yourself, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made no mistakes when he made you. He made you with your strengths. He made you with your weaknesses. He made you with your patterns, your idiosyncrasies. In my family, we say the things that make you tick, make you excited, and the things that tick you off. Like, these are just how you are made, and it's not the same. So for me, I had to give myself the grace to say, I can't get it in at the crack of dawn, and I needed to do this kind of overdramatic, set myself up for success kind of a thing. Especially like when you go to conferences or you hear from speakers, they're like, to be your very best self, to be effective for the kingdom of God, you need to be up at the crack of dawn and have the book of Leviticus. We're picking on Leviticus today. It was funny that he said that because I literally wrote that. I don't like Leviticus. I can't get through it. It stops me every time. You have to have the book of Leviticus highlighted and digested and journaled. You have to get your 3-mile run in and have like the most high protein, wonderful breakfast. And then you can start your day and be effective for the kingdom. Great. Raise your hand if you are that person and you are conquering it. Oh, I really expected more. Well, I'm so happy you're here today because I don't do that either. Really, nobody does that. I mean, my husband does that 90% of the time. But you know what he doesn't do? Make me feel bad. He's a morning person. Anyone want to guess what I am? I'm a night owl. I conquer the world between 9 and 11 p.m. And my house is clean and pillows are on the couch. And I'm telling you, whenever you get into God's word, God is going to meet you there. And it's going to be effective for the kingdom. And it's still going to affect your heart. And it's still going to affect your mind. And it's still going to flow out of you with grace and love and dignity to the world around you. It doesn't matter when you do it. It just matters if you do it. Well, we could just be done. All done. Just kidding. I have more for you. So 7 a.m. is kind of my alarm sweet spot, and I would hate for anyone to assume that it's anything past that because I am a teacher. So just keep that in mind. I've been going to school for 20 years, and before that I was a student. But I get ready fast, and I get out the door, and I had to figure out ways that I could still get in my quiet time, get in my exercise, and really just be able to be silent and have peaceful moments and be able to get all my prayers out and give an opportunity for God to speak back to me. And so that's why I put a pair of tennis shoes in my office. A devotional, and my family bought me mace because it made them nervous once I started hitting the trail. So I have that in my car. It's the kind you can strap on your wrist. So I put a devotional. I have my tablet. I would have a Christian author. My phone will beep at 8:30 a.m. I didn't pick 8:30. I think I hit a button when I asked for it to beep at me. I'm teaching by then. My exercise button beeps at 9, which I giggle every time because, like, yo, done. But so, you know, set up your phones a little bit better than I did. My times aren't perfect, but the reminder is still there. I did whatever I had to do to set myself up for success. And I have a devotional everywhere, and I had a pair of shoes everywhere, and even socks, and I even had a little bag that had earmuffs and a sweatshirt in case the trail was chilly. And I got to hit the trails, and it would be at odd times. It would be with my family. It would be alone. It'd be at lunch. It would be whenever. And I found it to be the most fulfilling goal in time that I've had. And I'm here to say right here this morning that it is January. It is cold. I'm a North Dakotan who's now a South Dakotan, and it's cold. So you can ask me right now, and with all vulnerability, I am not rocking it. I don't like it in January, and I still have a dog who needs to be walked, and we make it around the block. But there are going to be times of failure and times of success, and you have to give yourself the grace to just keep going. But it is so important for us all to realize that in our daily walk with Jesus, and this is a fill-in in your program this morning, it provides peace, and it provides a purpose. We cannot do this world by ourselves. We are not supposed to. We are supposed to call upon him. When we look at the new year and you think of how people's year ended, there was heartache, and there was tragedies for some, and there was wonderment, and there was failures and successes. And oftentimes when we go through our lowest points, we find ourselves wanting to pull away. We want to pull away from our community, which would be your church people. We want to pull away from our friends. We want to pull away from the moments because we think it's going to protect our heart in some tender way. But those are the times that God asks us to dig in. He asks us to walk in community with people. He asks us to get in his word, and he will reveal himself to us in a very real and powerful way. So I encourage you that if you have walked in those, acknowledge them. Call it like it is, an awful day, an awful moment, something that has been heart-wrenching. But dig in deeper, and you will be rewarded with the way that God sustains you in those hard times. Even as a little girl, I read the Footprints poem for the first time. Please raise your hand if you've read the Footprints poem. I didn't put it up there today. If you haven't, it is so much my favorite that I have it printed. I have it as a bookmark somewhere. I even have it as a mug in my office. Right here, this part, it says, "When you saw only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you, says the Lord." So if you look through the poem, or if you've ever seen it done to video, it flashes a person's life, and that person notices that in the most tragic times of their life, there was only one set of footprints, and he's just awestruck and kind of heartaching and saying to God, "Why would you leave me when I needed you the most?" And he says, "It is then, my child, that I carried you." If that doesn't give you a visual word picture in your saddest times, in your lowest times, nothing will. And that's what you have to picture. He is swooping you up. He is carrying you when you don't think you can carry it anymore. Isaiah 48:2 says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." It's a pretty comforting verse if today you feel like you really just need to hear that he is already holding you up in those waters. When we walk with God, we are walking mile by mile, and you can think of that literally, you're hitting the trails and you're walking with Jesus, but we are walking with God moment by moment, and I really want you to kind of think about that. When we're sad, we can be honest. When we walk together, he listens. He can reveal things to us that we don't see in the natural. He wants us to hold on in the tougher times, and he wants to literally commune with you as your friend and as your savior. When you walk with Jesus, it's not to be a performance, it's a relationship that you're building. And right now, today, you are moldable clay. And that scripture clearly states that. I love that too, that if I feel like I am just not being successful, I get to say, God's not done with me yet. He is still molding me, he is still shaping me, and the world is filing at me, and I have to go back to those truths every day and fill my cup with those truths. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust the Lord with your whole heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So that's clearly a fork in the road, and you want to take the one that God is leading you down, even if you don't understand why. For me, prayer has been a sustainer, something that if I can't finish the year, the Bible in a year, or if I failed in some other way, or I mix my devotions up and I'm not fabulous at it, prayer has been something that I have been developing my entire life that I can say right here, right now, that if your prayer life is the area you want to grow this year, then let that be your walking path. Let that be your walking journey. Because I have watched prayer transform my life. I'm a recovering people pleaser. Okay? So if I have to say no to you, it's because I'm a recovering people pleaser. Just teasing. And I'm learning that some people just aren't pleasable. And I could do all I can in the sweetest of voices I have, and I, you know, there are just tough decisions you have to make and not go in that direction. And I have could get really worked up about it. Obviously, I want people to like me. I like you. So when I feel anxious or when I feel consumed, my worldly soul will think on it, or if there's been a conflict or moment, I'll think on it, I'll stir on it. It literally like rests in my stomach and I wrestle it, and it can be all consuming. Have you ever like argued with someone in the car as you're driving, or is that just me? Like you're retelling the story again and again? Anyone? Anyone? Doug, have you wrestled with yourself in the car? Great. My dad used to drive me to school. He was a pastor. Sundays might have been tough sometimes because on Monday his hands were moving as he's driving. And I'd be like, Dad, who are you arguing with this morning? Sorry, I'm going to pray about that for you. So I try not to be that crazy, but it does you no good to replay those conversations. Let it go. Man, I could break out into the Frozen song right now. Let it go. And if that is all-consuming, that is what prayer is for. And I love in Scripture, it says it doesn't tell you how many times you have to ask for God to take that thought away. You get to do it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. But you can say, Lord, I don't want to stir that in my heart anymore. It does me no good. This conversation, I'm never going to get those words out. I'm not mean enough. Like, it's only disturbing myself. So transform me, fix me, take my mind on something else. And guess what? It does. I can go a whole day and go, oh, he did. He took it from me. I haven't thought about it all day. And then I get to give it to him again and again. And now I feel like I've morphed into an area where I can let that anxiety go and let those fears go and let that struggle go. And I get to reap the rewards of peace that overcomes me. And I know that God is hearing my prayers and he's walking with me. It's the same way when we walk with Jesus. We don't feel like showing up, but he always does. He's asking for us to invite him in and help us find a rhythm with him so that we can work around the world with us in a godly way. Psalm 61:2, from the ends of the earth I cry for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. Those kind of scriptures to me are breath prayers. That's what I call them. And breath prayers are ones where you memorize a scripture, and maybe that's the one you choose to say every time when you need to be filled with his goodness. And you memorize it so that you can say it. You learn it in your head. You own it in your heart so you can flow from your mouth. And that's what I teach my kiddos upstairs too. Pray on the spot. Pray for a friend. I've prayed with strangers. Be bold. Cast it to him, whatever you need to do. He's ready to listen. I'm going to give you 10 ways that you can walk with Jesus through scripture. It's in your soul provider and it will be up above. If we had all the time in the world, I would totally put you on the spot and make you read it with me, like make 10 of you read it. I'm not going to do that today, but I do really, really, really encourage you to look through these 10 scriptures, and maybe even out of the 10 right here today, you highlight 3 that are just an area of that you want to grow with. So number 1 is spend time with Jesus, Psalms 27:8. Number 2, let him prioritize your day. He gave me a path. He gave me an out. He gave me this comforting peace that says, I know you like to get up at 7. I know you like to go to bed late. Do it at noon. Do it at 4. I've never felt so much freedom in being able to just say, this is how I roll, and I'm okay with that. Whenever you can fit it in, Jesus is meeting you there. Number 3, pray instead of worrying. Everyone write that one. Number 4, be honest about your sin. That's James 4:10. Number 5, think of others. Don't you love that you have, that you can call upon somebody to pray for you? Even in this journey of motherhood, I have texted my mother and mother-in-law, which is also my father and my father-in-law, they don't text, and been bold to say, as grandparents, pray for my children. The burden is big for parents. We are all holding our breath. We are all wondering if we're doing well. Have somebody like that that you can text and say, pray with this for me, and they will do it. Number 6, wait patiently for God to act, Psalms 27:14. This is one of those spiritual disciplines where you would do journaling. I don't like to journal, but I am really good at keeping track records in my head. I know what my constant prayers have been. My latest breath prayer is, Lord, just your will be done. Your will be done. Make your will known. I'm done controlling the situation, and when I get to see it come into fruition, I go, he heard my prayers, I didn't know how to pray for it, and this is how he acted, and I couldn't be more giddy when I know that Jesus is working on my behalf. But if you're a journaler, that can be an excellent way for you to go back and even mark how it was answered. Mark the day you prayed it and when it was answered and how it was answered. Number 7, be willing to do the hard stuff, Matthew 16:24. I love that word. I learned it from another teacher. I have to teach brand new concepts to my five-year-olds. There are tears when I teach them to cut. And I have to say things like, you can do hard stuff. Do you remember learning to cut? It's a tough day. It was a tough day. And I have to say, you can do hard things. So today, you say to yourself, self, I can do hard things. You're not done being created. You're not done learning. You're not done morphing into something different. You can do hard stuff. If you need me to tell you, I will be your cheerleader. Number 8, read God's word. Ah. I know last year one of my children's sermons, I just put out all kinds of different types of Bibles, different types of Bibles for my students, different learnings, things. And I remember someone saying that the Message was like their favorite because it's like a storybook, and I'm going to read from that later today. Find the tool that you need to read with it. Number 9, do what it says. James 1:22. And number 10, let Christ lead me. Matthew 11:29. So in the Bible, especially when you get into, obviously, when you are in the New Testament, Jesus is on the ground, and he is walking with people, and it is over and over and over again in the Gospels. And even last night when I was thinking about my message, the story I'm going to read to you is actually after he is dead, he is in the tomb, and he has risen, and that's where it takes off, where I'm going to read from. But prior to that, I really want you to close your eyes and think about all of the important stories that we read. When he heals the lame, when he heals the blind, when he gets down on his knees and talks to children, my favorite, he is walking with people. He walked with his disciples. He walked with the lonely. He walked with the happy. He walked with the wondering. He walked with the doubters. He walked with the naysayers. He is walking, 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 walking. And when I show you how he showed up again walking, I want you to really hear the disbelief. Even though everything had been foretold and it had worked out exactly like he said it would. But I also want you to picture that right here, right now, between all of these seats, he is sitting there right next to you. He's walking with you on this journey, and he's asking for you to call upon him. So just take a deep breath. I believe in 3 deep cleansing breaths in through your nose. It calms everybody's soul. And I really want you to just to set your body where you can kind of hear as if I'm reading you a story. If you do want to follow along, it's Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. That same day, 2 of them were walking in the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were in deep conversation, going over all the things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and their questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they weren't able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there long-faced, like they had lost their very best friend. Then one of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened in the last few days?" He said, "What happened?" I love that. Like, Jesus is kind of funny. "What? What happened? I don't know." They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in his work and word, blessed by both God and all of the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, crucified him. And when we had our hopes that he was the one to deliver us from Israel, and now on this third day since it happened, but now the women at the tomb have us completely confused. Early this morning, they were at the tomb, and they couldn't find his body. Then they came back with a story that they had seen a vision of angels and that he was alive. And some of our friends went off to the tomb to check, and they found it empty, just as the women had said. They didn't see Jesus." He said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets have said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer, and only then we could enter into his glory?" Then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went through all the prophets and pointing out all of the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he were going to leave, but they pressed him. "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, wide-eyed. They recognized him, and then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel as if we were on fire as we conversed with him on this road? He opened up the scriptures for us." I picked that because They literally were walking next to Jesus, and they couldn't see it. And I think we go about our day constantly. He is just waiting for an invitation, and we don't see it, and we don't hear it. We think that there's plenty of things that we can control as grown-ups. We got this. This is the same old, same old. We don't know what tomorrow beholds. No one's promised tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow is a beautiful day or an ugly day, but we know that Jesus is waiting, ready to be a part of your day. And I love that even they were confused, and they didn't know how to picture that he was literally walking with them and did all that the prophets said that they would do and all the promises that came into fruition. And it gives me a really beautiful picture. So if I have to close my eyes, because I love to picture Jesus. I told you last time I have a vision of what Jesus looks like because of all the pictures I saw as a kid. But I sometimes have to close my eyes and picture him sitting right here with me, that I'm really having a conversation with this person. And if you see me in my car, I'm praying, and I'll probably look a little crazy, or I'm singing at the top of my lungs and still looking a little crazy. But now you know. But there's a way that you can have a conversation with God and get all your words out. Psalms 121 says, "How joyful are those who fear the Lord and all who follow his ways." When we walk closely with Jesus, we are joyful. And I think as Christians, we're to be holy and happy, but joy is a treasured word. And it is, because you could be a curmudgeon. You could have a sourpuss face. You could love the Lord and be very anticlimactic about it, okay? But you can be filled with joy. And when you walk that journey with Jesus and you let him fill in all of those gaps and you let him truly lead your heart and your mind, you're going to be filled with joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. It says in his word, to be happy, rejoice, be of good cheer, give thanks in all things. These are ways in scripture that's telling us that we can be happy. And when you add little habits to your life, happiness is going to come with it too. Here's three ways you could get started today, and I have this as a slide. You can focus on gratitude. There's different ways that you can pray. I can print them off for you. You can use acronyms. So you start with the word of thanks, and T means this and H means that. If you're looking for a way to just really begin focusing on your prayers, but I would first say that when you go before the Lord, go with an attitude of gratitude. He has given us so much. Right here today in this church, we have more to be thankful for than we could finish in a day. And we know that all around the world, people are oppressed. We know all around the world that they can't even be in a church and proclaim God's goodness. And that's a powerful, amazing freedom we have. And it's something I try to identify with my students upstairs, that we have the freedom to meet in Sunday school and say, I love the Lord, and I'm not going to be sent to prison. That's a treasure. It's also a treasure that you have someone who loves you, someone who pointed you to Jesus, someone who got you in his word, and you're here. That's a treasure. You have plenty to be grateful for, and I encourage you to start your prayers with gratitude. Say your highs and your lows. We say that at supper sometime. What was good today? What was bad today? It's okay to identify both. Number two, find a battle buddy, a walking buddy, somebody who can do this journey with you. They can keep you accountable. I encourage you to fill your world with godly advisors. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. If you're going to start something new this year, tell at least one person so they can be a genuine, kind friend that says, how's it going? Has this been a good journey for you? What did today look like? Number three, talk to yourself in a manner worthy of you. I'm going to say that one again. Talk to yourself in a manner worthy of you. Luke 6:45 says, our mouths speak from the overflows of our hearts. One of the most, if you are in a heart-wrenching state, one of the most powerful things you have to protect your heart and to be showing up in a godly way with others, if you feel like you're on the defense or you don't know how to answer somebody, you get to pause and pray. The act of that can be the most rewarding thing. You pause, you pray, you can even say, I need some think time and I'll get back to you. We tell kiddos all the time they need think time when they're learning something new. You don't have to respond, because if we don't go to God before our response, what's going to happen? Our natural state might pop out, might be a little hard to stick that back in, and it might not be our very best answer. And then we have things to apologize for, and then we have another path to go down, and then we've offended. But if we had the act of pausing and praying and then responding, we could have a whole different path, a whole different conversation, a whole different relationship with other people. My sweet husband calls me on this one often. I can be incredibly grace-filled for everybody else, but I'm awfully hard on myself. And I can be hard on my on different parts of myself. And he'll catch me say something, and I would never say it in front of my kiddos. I want them to have a good self-esteem. But if I slam myself, my husband's like, you would never say that of somebody else. Why would you say that of yourself? And it is important that how we think of ourselves, think of yourself as successful. I can do this. I will do this. It's going to give you the positive approach versus the negative. So view yourself in a worthy manner and let the overflow of our hearts. He will walk with us, and we invite him in as we do our relationships, our joys, our burdens, our heavy tasks. And he wants to know and share with you the joy of knowing who you are. And I love that line because Jesus is looking at you. He's smiling at you. He is saying, I love you. I have made you. You have amazing potential. You need to go find it. And there is joy he has in knowing us. That's a huge comfort. And the biggest question we have to answer today is why? Why should we walk with Jesus so closely? And if you have your soul provider, I really do want you to take a minute and think about your trigger word, your area where you default when you're not in your best state of mind. Do you default to fear, to anxiety, to worry, to anger? Do you spew and then have to apologize for it? Fear, it's all kind of under encompassing of sin that can creep into our lives. When we don't walk daily with God, things begin to creep in our lives. The closer you walk with God, the less room there is for anything else. So I want you to picture my shoes, and you can really study my shoes and make fun of me later. Yes, I walk in Tevas. I don't like tennis shoes, and I've been a dancer most of my life, and my feet are telling me that I have not treated them well all these years. So I wear a variety of shoes, and put your feet really tight together right now as you're sitting there. When you don't walk closely with God, separate your feet. Then anger can slip in. Pride, fear, any kind of sin, things that you kind of have to be vulnerable with at this moment and say, this is my go-to. When I'm not my very best state, this is where I tend to fall. So I'm going to give you a minute, and I want you to really think about and identify what's that word, what's that trigger. Close your eyes and try. Oh, I'm so short. Sorry. Close your eyes. Think of something. It's important to identify that word today because that's where the devil wants to get you. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that when you start a new journey, when you start a new goal, when you have motivation to do something that is life-changing, life-affirming, the devil is right there. He is literally here to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you are being the most effective for the kingdom is when he really wants to intervene. You need to know that trigger. You need to know what you're going to default to, and you're not going to give the devil any power. And I really encourage you to identify it, and then be ready to defend it when you're on a successful track, because he's going to play with you. How can we walk more closely like God? I have 6 ways. Now, this is not us walking in our human nature, because we are all sinners saved by grace. This is how we can walk more closely to how God does. We can walk in moral correctness, Psalms 84:11. We can walk without fault, Proverbs 28:18. We can walk with godly advisors, Psalms 1:1, again, filling yourself with mentorship that's positive. We can walk in obedience, Psalms 128:4. We can walk with integrity, Proverbs 10:9, and we can walk in a path of holiness, Isaiah 35:8. So as Jacob and Kelsey come up here to help me close the message together, because since I'm teaching, I can also sing, I'm going to sing my own song. So I don't have to call up the worship team. We will be the worship team. Think about what happens when you fall short every day and when you set your goal. And if you want to tell me your goal, I would love to know. I would love to be a prayer warrior for you. I love to pray for others. I would love for you to be a prayer warrior for me. I need to walk in December. I need to walk in January. Oh, it's not December. I need to walk more because I need that still small voice. When I am in a peaceful, and any amount sustains me, but I need to be quiet and peaceful and call upon God and hear from him. And I'm so glad he can reach me in my busy times, but he also can reach me in my quiet times. He reaches me in my happy times and in my low times. But I have to call upon him. I have to invite him on my journey, and I have to do it every day. The biggest thing you all have to tell yourself is today is a new day. It is morning. It is Sunday morning. I'm sure we have not screwed up yet. Have we? I mean, I don't know what your drive like was to church, or if that's a struggle for you. If you have road rage, then maybe your day is blown. But God has given us grace, and you need to take that grace. We are not told that we have to be perfect every day. We aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. I fail all the time. But by all means, don't stop there. Don't stay on that word. Wake up. I tell my children every day if we have good or bad days. Today is a new day. Try again. Don't give up. If you have already stopped your 7 days with walking through the Bible, it's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. Read it again. Read the new one. Just don't stop. We are on this journey until he has called us to something far better, and that is to be in the kingdom with him. And he needs to be invited every day and to be a part of your path. Those who walk with God always reach their final destination. It is our job to keep going. As we sing, I love hymns. I told you I'm an old soul. We're going to sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and you can do two things. You can sit and just soak it in and soak in the words and the classicness of this hymn, but I'd ask you to just open up your body, maybe even open up your hands, and really be able to think and contemplate on what 2019 is going to look for you. But I'm going to tell you, we are a cherished crew, and we have a big world out there, and they need your positivity, and they need your journey to be successful. And you need to be studied up, and you need to be prayed up so that you can be the most effective for this kingdom and the most effective for this world, in your family, in your neighborhoods, when you leave this church, even here, right here as a community. We are to be loving. We are to be forgiving. None of us have it all together. We need to be grace-filled, and we need to take God's grace and fill our cups and realize today is a new day. So just pause your bodies and join us if you want us to sing with us.